Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. iowawatch.org is the exceptional public service show he has down there, and he joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
A good afternoon. You survived last night, I trust.
I do, and I see a president who's trying his hardest to take the losses off the table as quickly as can. We have to get to the Sessions thing. We'll do that in a second. Let's go back to last night, because this, as I like to say, when you look at the popular vote margins, the last night was a 9.2% win for the Democrats on that. To put that in perspective, the great 2010 Republican, you know, wave, that was a 7.2. The contract with America was a 7.1. The last time we had anything like this in the last 25 years was 2008 with Barack Obama. This was the second largest. That was 10.6. This was 9.2. It was a monumental wave to the Democrats, but because of the gerrymandered system, the money, the media advantage, as well as also the rules on voting, they weren't able to turn it into a 1930s-esque 100-seat swing, but they still got enough there to get a lead, and it looks like they're going to have somewhere in the area of an 8 to 10-seat advantage in the House of Representatives.
The Republicans have been trying to greatly minimize the impact of losing the U.S. House. And I understand why they're trying to do it. But the fact of the matter is, the Republicans lost the U.S. House.
Yes.
I don't care if it was by one seat or whatever. Now, did they expand their majority in the U.S. Senate? Yeah, a little bit, not a lot. And the mere fact that the Senate is more solidly, quote unquote, in GOP hands, does mitigate a bit of the loss of the House, but holy cow, you lost the House. I mean, that is, forget waves, right? Because I mean, you and I have had this discussion, are they waves, are they ripples, blah, 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 who cares? The bottom line is, the Republicans lost the House. They lost the House, to me, for two reasons. One, you had Democrats who were so upset at what had happened with unified, if you will, certainly wasn't unified, but one party ruling, that they turned out, because that's the aftermath of 2016, some of them staying home. But you also had, on the far end of the spectrum, Republicans who said, what's the matter with you people? You said you'd get rid of Obamacare, you didn't. You said you'd build a wall, you didn't. And despite Paul Ryan, and I heard him in person in the Midwest try this line last year, saying, well, look, we've done our part, it's the House, it's the Senate's fault. Well, who did they take it out on? They took it out on the House. So you've got dissatisfaction on both sides. So anybody who tells you this isn't a big deal is wrong or spinning.
Well, and it's interesting to bring up the Senate, because the margin for popularity vote nationally on Senate races was a 12.1 advantage for Democrats. It just was, it was a case where this was the outcome of the second election of Obama. This is 6 years ago, 2012. There was a huge Democratic surge in the Senate. That was the only other thing that happened good for the Democrats that election cycle, was they picked up a lot of Senate seats. And it was going to be virtually impossible for them to hold that many Senate seats, especially in Republican districts, as they did. This wasn't a huge upset. They still have a filibuster. They don't have a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate for the Republicans, so they still have to manipulate the rules that way, which is only going to come back to bite them even worse eventually. But you're right. I mean, now you have that, we have at least one body that can do some oversight here, and they are already chomping at the bit to get in there to start calling hearings.
And that is why Trump's actions today regarding Sessions, I'm not going to jump to that yet, other than to say that's why, yet again, so maddening. Because, first of all, the temptation by Democrats, who now have control of the chamber, is to do the very things they're talking about doing, investigations, impeachment hearings, whatever it might be. Let them, if you're Trump, sit back and let them do that. But instead, you then, in essence, dare them to do something by the action you took, because you can't stand to not be the center of attention. It's bad enough that you claimed victory after losing the House. I don't understand that. I also did think, though, that the president's tweet today saying that Nancy Pelosi deserved to be speaker was, I don't know if it was intentional this way, but it was a brilliant stroke for this reason. There may be Democrats who are uncomfortable with Nancy Pelosi as speaker. Maybe they're newbies. Maybe they're folks who have opposed her in the recent past. They might be sitting there saying, wait a second, this president wants her? Maybe we don't then. Or, taken another way, he's saying, I'd love to have Nancy Pelosi there. He's boxed her in a corner of disrespect because if she works with him, he then comes up in 2020 and says, look, I'm the one who works with everybody. If she doesn't work with him, he says, look at these obstructionists. I mean, he's boxed her in a bit of a corner, not saying she can't work out of it. But you see what I'm saying? That with that little tweet, I'm thinking, okay, he's being smart. And then he goes and does sessions in that news conference.
Well, it's here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to come back and just I think we're at the Chicken Little stage. I mean, speaking of tweets, we're at the Chicken Little stage. I don't think anything he says. I mean, he says, what was it? I love the cavalcade of messages he put out this morning where I look forward to working with the Democrats. And then it was like 45 minutes later, if they dare investigate me, I'm going to use the Senate to investigate them. And I was like, it was like, dear God, man, someone needs...
The cavalcade of tweets, is that what you're going to call
it? Oh, yeah, because it was just like, you know, you could just see him storming up and down the aisles of the White House and just going down the halls and just saying, you know what, I'm going to fight back. You know, I'm going to undo this election. And, you know, the realization that there is now someone who is going to check and balance him terrifies him. And it clearly does. And the entire thing today, everything today has been a perfect example of how terrified he is of anyone overseeing him. And this is why right now what you're seeing, and why don't we move on into the sessions thing, what you're seeing here is clearly an attempt to bury the entire Mueller investigation prior to the Democrats taking over the House.
I'm concerned about a number of things. The individual who has been appointed as acting attorney general.
Whitaker.
Is Matt Whitaker.
Yeah.
Matt Whitaker is a former University of Iowa football player, former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Iowa, ran for the U.S. Senate, lost in the Republican primary 4 years ago where Joni Ernst won the nomination and then went on to win the seat. He has been chief of staff to Jeff Sessions. I'm already a little concerned about, you know, what did he get himself into? But specifically, he's now in charge of the Mueller investigation and not Rosenstein.
Yeah, that was the one. I wanted to mention that. That was something that came down today as well, that he specifically put Whitaker in charge of the session. The problem is that there's definitely going to be an ethics probe because what Whitaker said had written about limiting the Mueller probe, which he said is a witch hunt, in quotes. That's in quotes. So he clearly already has an established rule that he does not want this probe to happen. And so he might be forced to have to, you know, recuse himself again.
That's right.
Well, this is going to start looking like Nixon. It really is going to be like, you know, it's a last man standing sort of stuff.
Where's Elliot Richardson when you need him? No, I think the thing. Well, that was a deep dive, wasn't it?
Yeah, nicely done.
I do what I can. The thing with Whitaker and being in charge of that of the Mueller investigation, that is potentially by default, and here's why: if the attorney general was the one in charge of everything, which is the case, and Sessions said, I have a conflict of interest on this matter, so I'm going to recuse myself. When he's no longer there, the conflict is no longer there. And so the new person comes in and presumptively then is in charge of everything. Now, new person coming in usually would just say, well, I'm not going to change everything. I mean, Rosenstein's been in charge of this. Why would I step in to do anything? But the fact is, by default, there's no longer a conflict. The fact that it has been made very well known to the world that Whitaker is in charge of it, that seems a little disturbing. That seems a little bit, okay, did you really need to go there? It's a self-evident point, but you really want us all to know it. And that's what leads to all the suspicion that there's something more nefarious going on here, other than just the fact that, well, it's this president who took an action.
I mean, are we looking at something more on the level of he can't stop the probe? I mean, we now know the Roger Stone stuff, that the allegations that came out, or not the allegations, the evidence, I think would be the right term, that came out against Roger Stone clearly places him as the connection point between the Trump campaign and WikiLeaks. So there you have it. Yeah, Russia to WikiLeaks to Roger Stone to the Trump campaign. You have, and you even have Roger Stone under, you know, written emails and texts where he's basically talking about getting Julian Assange basically pardoned by the president. So, I mean, there you have collusion as well. You got him dead to rights. I don't think they're trying to stop that. I think they already know that they're caught red-handed there. This is, I think, going to be an attempt by Trump to just shut down the whole thing. And then the question then becomes, can the president, regardless of what information is there, can the president of the United States just shut down any investigation, regardless of whether or not it's about him or not?
Technically, the answer is probably yes, he can, because he is the head of the executive branch. But does that then lead to the possibility of an impeachable act, an overt act that's taken? So I wanted to be very careful when I answered it, because this, again, is uncharted territory. The short answer is he probably can do it. But obviously, there are ramifications for that action being taken.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come take a break, because I want to bring back, sure. I want to go back to that when we do come back, because there's two things that jump out at me really quick that are actually Trump actually setting himself in for more problems when we get to it. I'll talk about that in a second. Jeff Stein joining us, election recap, and of course, Sessions getting canned today. 952-946-6205. We'll come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. With the end of 2018, it's time to get yourself an amazing gift, a new vehicle from Rudy Luther. Through November, get a $3,000 rebate on the Toyota Tundra pickup, or $3,500 on my personal favorite, the family-friendly Sienna. Plus, check out that great selection of 2018 Tacoma pickups in stock. And the best part of Rudy Luther is the long-term relationship you'll have with their wonderful people. November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Looking to offer high-end restaurant-quality food at your next event? Look no further than D'Amico Catering. Their talented team of event planners and chefs will collaborate to perfect a menu that best fits your needs. Whether emphasizing local cuisine or ethnic flavors, organic bites or summertime favorites, they're here to give you choices that align with your taste, budget, and style. Interested in learning more? Please visit D'AmicoCatering.com. That's D'AmicoCatering.com.
Don't wait. Get Black Friday appliance savings now from Warner Stellion. Get the same great deal and be ready for the holidays. At Warner Stellion, we guarantee our Black Friday prices so you can buy now with confidence. Laundry pairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, entire kitchen suites, priced with unbeatable Black Friday discounts. Plus, you can trust our specialists to deliver and install your new appliances without worry. So why wait? Get Black Friday appliance savings while they last. From Minnesota's original appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, and Jeff Stein joining us right now. Jeff, you had mentioned he probably could bury the current going on the Mueller investigation. Here are a few things about that I want to talk about, because there, first of all, Mueller doesn't come across necessarily as a guy who is looking to break the rules, but I also don't get the impression this is a guy that likes to get pushed around. And if he knows of a crime that has been committed at the highest levels of our government, do you think Mueller would just keep his mouth shut if he was basically told that you can't talk about it, give us all the copies of all the data, and you go home?
Who's going to tell him?
Trump will, or Whitaker. He'll get Whitaker to try to go say, you're done, go home.
So he tells him to go home.
Give us all the data, yeah.
Okay, well, what's to keep him from then sitting down with you on this radio program and saying, well, this is where we were headed?
That's what I'm saying. Is that I don't get the impression that he's like, I'm on 60 minutes and 20, and I'm flying over to their offices and, you know, right after this. So
Exactly.
All right, so there's problem number one for this whole grand scheme of Trump's. Problem number two is we just got done with 2018. he is basically hanging the senators out to dry because they are going to have to turn a huge blind eye to this. And granted, the Republicans that just won re-election, they don't have to worry about it. But there's a lot more Republicans up for 2020. And when you're looking at an important race where this is going to determine the redistricting for the next 10 years, I guarantee you the last thing these Republicans want to do in the Senate is to go in there with, you know, why didn't you, when you clearly had Trump guilty of sin, why didn't you hold him accountable?
The Republicans, on the whole, said, look, this is our president, for good or ill, and so we're going to double down in the election. Because what else can we do? You either retire, you're either Corker, Flake, et cetera, and just retire, or you double down. So they doubled down. How'd that work for them in the House? Mm-hmm. And so who's to say they're going to do it again? And you know, you have asked me since this day 2 years ago, at what point will Republicans bail? They'll bail when it's not working. Well, it sure didn't work in the House. I mean, yesterday, and again, microcosm and where I live, four members of Congress. Going into yesterday, one Democrat, three Republican. Now, three Democrat, one Republican, and Steve King barely won re-election. So how's that working, that House doubling down strategy? Not real darn well. And again, the number one goal of any politician is to get elected. The number two goal is to get re-elected. That's a really one and one A.
Yeah.
And it's self-sacrifice.
House. So he kills the Mueller probe. Say he figures it out and sends Bob Mueller home. And basically there's no investigation going on. The House of Representatives can start their own investigation. Am I correct on that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. And the thing that's been going on now is the idea of let's wait and see what the report says, because let's really be clear. Most people who pay attention to this say, the Mueller probe will not suggest that the president be indicted. He will simply have him be an unindicted co-conspirator, or he'll simply lay out all the atrocities. In other words, Mueller's position is not to prosecute the president. Mueller's position is to gather evidence, prosecute those he sees along the way, and report to the world and to Congress any atrocities he believes he can prove against the president. It is then the House's responsibility to file articles of impeachment and the Senate to convict in a trial. So the idea that Mueller is going to be watching as Trump is let out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in handcuffs is not going to happen, but the report could be the blueprint that they literally follow in the House like a yellow brick road to vote articles of impeachment.
And like I said, he could just walk away indicting Trump Jr., sure. Roger Stone, Bannon, Kushner, and saying, okay, I'm done. and just leaving the pinata for the next guy to hit. You know, I think that's kind of the way you need to look at it.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's entirely fair because you're right. He will not ignore things. He will do what he can do, but there is a gray area about indicting a sitting president. There is no gray area about impeachment.
Not at all. Then finally, let's go back to the election here, because there was one really weird anomaly I want your thoughts on. Of course, suburban Republicans got, slaughtered yesterday. I mean, they really did. That was where, especially in the metro area here in the Twin Cities, around the country, suburban Republicans that had been holding in districts which are either 50-50 or even slightly leaning to the left, all got voted out. Mm-hmm. But you also had two cases of far-right Republicans, Scott Walker in Wisconsin, Chris Kobach in Kansas, who lost. And now I understand, you got Florida, you got Georgia, you got Arizona, you got Indiana. I mean, you had some places where you had far right candidates win, but what happened, do you think, in those two cases where those two guys specifically lost?
Well, your buddy, little Scotty Walker, I believe that was the moniker you gave him. It's called his track record of performance. I mean, the fact that he was reelected 4 years ago was the surprise. The fact that he's not reelected to a third term is not the surprise. It's that's the way I look at Wisconsin. Hardly surprised that Scott Walker didn't win a third term, given what he did during his first term. Kansas is more of a surprise because you've always thought of that as being a really red state. But to your point, okay, Florida goes Republican and everybody's jumping up and down, but you lose Wisconsin, you lose Kansas. There are a few other places where Republican governors all of a sudden either were termed out and they were not succeeded by somebody from their own party, or in fact were just turned out. Kansas had that issue again with the sitting governor being ousted by the then Secretary of State in the primary, and I think there were still some hard feelings there, and that's why he lost. But again, it goes to show that there are all of these little self-inflicted wounds that politicians put upon themselves. You put that next to a motivated electorate, and it's not a surprise you get the results you did.
And you said it always. It's politics is local. All politics is local. Iowa governor, is that Democrat or Republican now?
Republican. The first woman ever to be governor is now the first woman ever appointed as governor.
Ah, okay.
Or ever elected as governor. So, no, it's a Republican state house. It's a Republican governor's chair. But yet at the same time they did that, they flipped the House delegation.
Yes.
And so it's no consistency at all.
It's only going to get worse if this trade policy with China gets worse, especially for the farmers. Jeff Stein, once again, we'll spotlight this interview. Thank you very much, Jeff, and we appreciate your time last night during the election night coverage.
You know, it's always a privilege. Thanks much.